तस्मै नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय धीमहि यान् मायया दुर्जयया मां वदन्ति जगत् गुरुम् तस्मै नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय धीमहि यन्मायया दुर्जयया मां वदन्ति जगद्गुरुम्। I offer my obeisances and meditate upon Lord Krishna, Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead whose invincible potency influences them, the less intelligent class of men, to call me the Supreme Controller. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As will be clearly explained in the next verse, the illusory potency of the Lord bewilders the less intelligent to accept Brahmaji, or for that matter any other person, as the Supreme Lord. Brahmaji, however, refuses to be called this, and he directly offers his respectful obeisances unto Lord Vasudeva or Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, as he has already offered the same respects to him in the Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. The Supreme Lord is the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the primeval Lord in his transcendental body, the ultimate cause of all causes. I worship that primeval Lord, Govinda. Brahmaji's is conscious of his actual position, and he knows how less intelligent person, bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord, whimsically accept anyone and everyone as God. A responsible personality like Brahmaji refuses to be addressed as the Supreme Lord by his disciples or subordinates. But foolish persons, praised by men of the nature of dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, feel flattered to be addressed as the Supreme Lord. Why such persons take pleasure in being addressed as God, or why such persons are addressed as God by foolish admirers, is explained in the following verse. To welcome special guest to Radha Gopinath's temple, from London, three very special personalities have come who have dedicated many years of their lives in doing wonderful, wonderful preaching. Places like England and Italy, and who are always very merciful to me. I would like everyone to welcome them. Vishwambar Prabhu and his good wife Jagannathishwari and son Gauranga Kripa. Is that during their brief stay at Radha Gopinath Mandir? My prayer to all of you is take their nice association and get the great benefits of that and treat them with great love and kindness. Let us welcome them to Radha Gopinath. The see of every living entity who comes to this material world is to want to be the enjoyer. To want to be the enjoyer means, in essence, to want to be God, because Krishna is the only enjoyer. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram. If we want to claim proprietorship over something for the purpose of enjoying that, that means we want to imitate the exclusive position of Krishna. The living entity is by constitutional nature prakriti, and Krishna is purusha. He is the enjoyer, and we are all created specifically for Krishna's enjoyment. And constitutional nature of the soul is Sachidananda. It is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And that eternal nature, based on knowledge and the experience of bliss, can only be when we are in our natural setting. Jivara Swarupoi Krishna Niti Das. We are the eternal servants of Krishna. We are meant to be utilized by Krishna however he so desires, by his sweet will, for his own enjoyment. The Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta is that Radha and Krishna are eternally enjoying one another in the spiritual land of Vrindavan. And the ultimate perfection is to simply become the servant of the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani in her supreme capacity to give enjoyment and pleasure to Krishna. And to the degree we become advanced in devotional service, to that degree we want absolutely nothing else in our life than to be utilized by the servants of the Lord for the pleasure of the Lord. And Lord Brahma is the Adikavya. He is the original great learned spiritual master of our sampradaya, the Brahma Gaudiya sampradaya. And here a very important message is being given by Lord Brahma in these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Narada Muni was born to Brahma, and he understood Brahma to be the source of everything within the universe, because factually, on the secondary level of correct creation, he is the source of everything within this universe. He has such power. He has such knowledge. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhikavye. The Supreme Personality of Godhead directly gave birth to Brahma from his navel. Therefore, he is known as Atmabhu. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly and personally awakened within his heart the knowledge of the Vedas. He had exclusive knowledge of everything. And anyone who wanted to know anything about anything in truth had to receive it directly or indirectly from Lord Brahma. So what kind of a high position did he have? There was no competitor as far as his supremacy within this universe. And a common person, if they get a little knowledge, or a little power, or a little fame, they become so proud, so intoxicated and infatuated, that they start thinking, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. Worship me, respect me, adore me. This desire for respect, this desire for adoration and prestige is another symptom of the soul that wants to take the position of God. Because ultimately all adoration and respect is meant for Krishna, for him to enjoy. So Brahma was in the most suitable position to receive all these honors and pleasures. And Narada, who was such a great soul, so divinely empowered, he is approaching Brahma ready to worship Him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Worship, ready to honor and respect Him. And Brahma says, no, this is illusion. I am not God. I am only a servant of God. Krishna is God. And anyone who sees anyone but Krishna as God, or anyone who so foolishly thinks themselves to be God, is under the potency of illusion or Maya. This is the first message of Brahma to Narada. And how it is that the impersonalist and Mayavad philosophy is coming throughout the whole world, claiming that you are God, I am God, everyone is God, everything is God, but I'm special God, because I know I'm God, but you have forgotten your God. So if you surrender to me and give me all your money and do all service to me and give me all enjoyments, then I will reveal to you that you are also God. But even when you realize you're also God, you have to still serve me because I'm the Supreme God. You are supreme gods, but still, give everything to me. This is all in the name of Vedas. In the name of Upanishads, they misrepresent so many slokas to try to prove this misconception. But here is the original author of all the Vedas, all the Upanishads, Brahma. And his first message to his disciple Narada is, I am not God, you are not God, Vishnu is God. And anyone who thinks that they are God or that anybody of this world, even up to me, is in illusion, is in Maya. And from that time to the present moment, those in the disciplic succession of Lord Brahma are very anxious to kick out and defeat all impersonalistic and Mayavad philosophy. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Satare. Srila Prabhupada's Pranam Mantra announced to the world that he has come to destroy impersonalism and voidism from this planet. When Prabhupada first came to America, he was the only person that the disciples really trusted and had faith that was an authority of the knowledge of the Vedas and the absolute truth. And at one time, actually it was at New Vrindavan, by Krishna's mercy before I arrived there. It was in early 70, I think, 1970. There was a festival. And devotees from all over America came, and the four leading sannyasis were preaching that Srila Prabhupada is Krishna. Just as Lord Chaitanya was actually Krishna, but refused to say he was Krishna, Srila Prabhupada is refusing to say he's Krishna, but he is Krishna. And they started quoting from Prabhupada's books to prove that he was Krishna. And because if you're good with logic and you have clever mind, you can take so many slokas from so many scriptures and come to your own conclusion. If you look at the Bhagavad Gita, there are so many interpretations to Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, always think of me. And everyone has their own idea of what me means. Prabhupada said me means, if you say me, it means you. If Krishna says me, it means Krishna. What is so difficult? But they, no, actually, according to Sanskrit grammar, mum, and then they go through all explanations, and ultimately me means something, everybody except Krishna. If Krishna says me, it means me, not Krishna me, like that. So many conceptions. The indivisible, undivided, impersonal conception within Krishna, within you, within me, within all of us. So many misconceptions. It's called word jugglery. So these devotees were juggling words. And they were trying to prove that Srila Prabhupada was God. He was Krishna himself, incarnated. And actually these people were so powerful that they actually convinced most of the people of the movement. at that time. Some were suspicious. Prabhupada always says that any guru who says he's God is dog. So why would Prabhupada say that if he's God and he's guru? So some were wondering, what is this? This doesn't sound. But actually, Prabhupada had big, big leaders ready to worship him as God and ready to preach all over the world that he was God. And all he had to say is, like so many of the gurus in India, that actually I don't claim to be God, but they are saying, what can I do? One of the big gurus, big, big gurus all over the world, a Vaishnava approached him from the Madhva Sampradaya, a descendant of Lord Brahma in disciplic succession. And the Mayavadis, they do not like to argue with descendants of Lord Brahma's disciplic succession, because Brahma from the very beginning kicks them out. And over the generations, over the millenniums since the dawn of creation, the Vaishnavacharyas have further been elaborating and refining Brahma's process of kicking them out. And Madhvacharya was very royal king of opposition against Mayavad philosophy. So here's a descendant of Madhvacharya. He comes up to this guru and he says, are you Krishna or are you the servant of Krishna? And he had his books, not only in his hand but in his mind. And this person knew, if I say I'm Krishna, he will totally destroy me, obliterate me, defeat me. But the whole world's worshipping him as Krishna. He said, actually, I am the servant of Krishna. But they want to worship me as Krishna. I never said I'm Krishna. But they want to worship me as Krishna, so what can I do? Srila Prabhupada could have said that. But when Srila Prabhupada, he was in Japan, that means he was about 15,000 miles away from New Vrindavan. And when he heard the message that these sannyasis were preaching that he was God, he composed this prayer. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschat Yate Shatarane. That I have come to kick out this nonsense of impersonalism and voidism. And just to make it, I'll kick out these sannyasis. And he kicked them out of ISKCON. He kicked them out. He told them, you are not allowed to come to the temples. You are not members of our society. You get out. This is nonsense. Until you atone for your offense by preaching the proper truth. And just go out on your own and start opening centers and preach what I am teaching, then you can come back. He was so strong. Because this is the most important understanding, that this sacred principle that we are eternally servants of Krishna, we are part and parcel of Krishna, simultaneously one and different from Krishna, meant for Krishna's enjoyment. It is the basis and the essence of truth. And it is the only means by which we can actually experience bhakti or devotion, love, which is the ultimate goal of life. Prema Pumartha Mahan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was God. But if anyone at any time, except for some rare occasions of his most intimate associates, if they called him God, he would cover his ears with his hands and he would cry out, Vishnu, Vishnu, do not contaminate my mind by saying such nonsense. We are all eternal servants of Krishna. So here Lord Brahma is explaining the last snare of Maya. At the very beginning of Bhagavatam, he's describing the last snare of Maya. To think that I am Krishna. To think that I am the enjoyer. I am the controller. Real liberation. There is mukti and vimukti. Prabhupada says, mukti means liberation from material suffering. Aham brahmasmi. But vimukti means the perfection of liberation. And that means to engage in the loving service of the Lord as his eternal servitor. Today is the disappearance day of one of the great acharyas, coming in the line of disciplic succession of Lord Brahma and Narada Muni through the great mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is the disappearance day of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. If you desire and grant your permission, I will speak briefly about the glories of Srila Narottam Das Thakur's exemplary life of Krishna consciousness. There are several books written about Srila Narottam Das Thakur, especially the Bhakti Ratnakar and Narottam Vilas by the same author, Narahari Das. And it is explained therein that Narottam Das was sent directly by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the spiritual world. Years before Narottam's birth, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on that very famous journey to Vrindavan. We were describing recently how Narasinghananda Brahmachari was decorating the road in his mind with beautiful gold and jewels and wide, wide roads covered with stemless flowers to make Lord Chaitanya's feet very comfortable. And how he decorated the sides of the roads with lakes and with swans and with all beautiful fragrances and aromas. And he decorated up to Kanai Natashala. And then he could not decorate beyond that. He was trying so hard in his mind to go beyond, but he could not. So he told the devotees that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will not go to Vrindavan, he will come back. And he was doing this from Kulia, which is a place in Navadvip. So when Lord Chaitanya came to Ramkeli, he met with Sri Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami for the first time. And they surrendered their lives at his lotus feet. He gave them the instruction to go to Vrindavan, and he initiated them, embraced them, and invoked within their hearts his supreme mercy and the power to give that mercy to the world. But Sanatana Goswami told Lord Chaitanya that you should not go to Vrindavan with so many hundreds and thousands of people. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking, there were so many people following behind him. And wherever he was going, he was just inducing people to chant the holy names. And soon there were practically millions of people with their arms raised, loudly chanting the holy names of Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Vrindavan is a solitary place. You will be more happy going there alone or with one or two confidential associates. So Lord Chaitanya agreed. And it was during that famous trip, just after he met Rupa and Sanatana, he came near, he looked in the direction of the village of Keturi Gram. And there he went into a trance of ecstatic love. Tears began to flow from his beautiful lotus eyes. And his limbs began to tremble. And very loudly he began to call out while glancing in that direction, Narottam, Narottam. And he was calling again and again the name of Narottam. In this way the devotees could understand that in that village a great personality named Narottam would soon take birth. And it is also said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who was present at the time, that I am going to bathe in the Padma River and I am going to deposit my own ecstatic love of Krishna in that river. And at the suitable time, you should bring Narottam to accept that love from me. And when Lord Chaitanya took his bath in the river, he actually put his own prema in that river. And some years later, in the village of Keturi Gram, a beautiful son named Narottam was born to the king of that village. His name was Raj Krishnananda Dutt. And he had a brother named Purushottam Dutt. And his very beloved, chaste, and devoted wife was named Narayani. And this child was so beautiful. He had all the symptoms of Mahapurusha on every limb of his body. And he became the very source of joy and happiness for everyone of Keturi Gram. So attractive. And Narayani, his mother, would simply find the greatest bliss just looking into this baby child's face. When it came to the ceremony of giving first grains, in Bengal, that is a very elaborate festival that they have. Usually these days, people just stick some rice in your mouth or something. But they have biddy. They invite the whole village, the whole kingdom, and there's Brahmins chanting, and there's music, and everything going on. And everyone's watching with great happiness to see the child eat the first grains. Samskara. So they went to give grains, and the little baby Narottam just would not take it. He just kept pushing the grains away, just looked at the grains with disgust. And this was very disturbing. It was a very inauspicious thing. What to do? But one Vaishnav happened to be there, a sadhu, and he had some Mahaprasad. He said, this child will only take Mahaprasad. And he gave the grains, and little baby Narottam, not only did he eat the first grains, he ate all the Mahaprasad that was there. And everyone became very happy and began to cheer and chant. And Krishnananda Dutt, he vowed that I will never give this child anything but Krishna's prasad. So soon they put him in school. And when he went to school, what kind of scholar he was, although such a young child. As soon as he would hear anything, he would learn it and never forget it. And he was so dutiful and so loyal to his teachers and so absolutely well behaved. In fact, he loved to hear kirtan. He loved to hear harikatha. And he didn't like anything else. He would never play. All the other children would be having nice games and running and jumping and having so many sports. But Narottam never had any interest in these things. Kirtan and harikatha, that was his only enjoyment. And there was one very good devotee. His name was Krishna Das. He was a great Vaishnav who was very learned, and he also was an associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the association of other devotees. And he would spend most of the day, every day, just explaining to Narottam the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And Narottam, he would simply never want to leave Krishna Das. They would sit on the banks of the river Padmavati, and he would just explain so many stories, how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born in Navadvip, and how he had his wonderful pastimes as a scholar, as Nimai Pandit, and how he took initiation from Ishwarapuri in Gaya, and then how he began the Sankirtan movement, and the wonderful kirtans that took place in Srivas Thakur's house, the Chandrasekhar Bhavan. And he explained the story of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and went to Jagannath Puri in his various travels. And Narottam would just be in rapt attention. He was so thirsty to hear about Lord Gauranga. And Krishnadas would also tell Narottam about the associates and the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Because hearing about the Vaishnavas is not different than hearing about the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost Purana. But if we actually study Srimad Bhagavatam, up to the 10th canto, it is mostly stories of great devotees. Narada, Shukadev, the Purachetas, Dhruva, Ambarish, Prahlad. Stories of those souls and their devotion to Krishna, their surrender to Krishna, is none different than stories of Krishna's pastimes. Krishna Das would tell him so many wonderful stories about the different devotees. And he told him the story of one devotee named Srinivas. And he explained how this Srinivas, he was the son of Chaitanya Das. He talked about his special, unique birth, and how he was always longing to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how he was going, he left home, he left everything to go to Jagannath Puri, but just on the outskirts of Puri he found that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left his body. And when he came into Puri, he actually wanted to commit suicide and jump in the Ganges or in the ocean somewhere. But Lord Chaitanya appeared to him in dream and said, you go to Gadadhar Pandit and learn Srimad Bhagavatam from him. You know the story. He went to Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit's Bhagavatam was so covered with tears due to his feelings of separation. He said, how can I teach you unless we get another Srimad Bhagavatam that you can read? So he went back to Bengal. He had another Bhagavatam written. He brought it back to Puri. But when he returned, Gadadhar Pandit, he could not withstand the separation from Lord Gauranga. He went back to the spiritual world. Again, not Srinivas, I will commit suicide. This is intolerable. I cannot live. And then Gadadhar Pandit, in dream, told him, go to Vrindavan. Learn Bhagavat from Rupan Sanatan. He went all the way to Vrindavan. In Mathura, in Vishram Ghat, he took his bath, and there he heard people telling the story of how Rupan Sanatan had left their body. This was very... Again he was thinking, let me leave my body. But then Rupan Sanatan appeared to him in a vision and said, you have our blessings. You study under Jiva Goswami. So ultimately Srinivas Acharya studied under Jiva Goswami and was initiated by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And Narottam Das Thakur, when he heard this story about Srinivas, he would just weep and cry and ask Krishnadas, tell me the story, tell it again and again and again. When will I meet this Srinivas? Who later became known as Srinivas Acharya. When will I have his association? Will it ever be? He was longing for that moment. How devotees not only long in separation from the Lord, but in the same way they long in separation from the Lord's devotees. In this way, Narottam Das had no attraction for anything but Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan. And one day Nityananda Prabhu appeared to him in a dream and told him, tomorrow you go to Padma River and take your bath. And he went to the river and he took his bath, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came out of the river and embraced him. And when he embraced him, he infused his own ecstasy of love of God and his own potencies of spreading the glories of the Harinam Sankirtan movement into the heart of Narottam Das. And Narottam was just so much intoxicated in Krishna Prema that he was just weeping and crying and rolling on the ground on the banks of the river, and his parents were wondering, where is he? And finally they found him, and what type of transformation? After that he would just sit in his temple and cry in separation from the Lord and his devotees. And his parents, seeing that he didn't want to stay home, he was meant to be the king. He had such wealth that was meant to be given to him, but he didn't care. So his parents put guards around him to make sure he did not go. But one day the king of Bengal called for his parents, so they had to go. And Narottam, somehow it wasn't difficult for him to escape from his mother. And he escaped. And he was a prince. And he had no money, nothing. And he was running through the forest barefoot. And after some days, he was very fatigued. Actually, what happened is this. Just before this, his father went to the king, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him in a dream and said, you go to Vrindavan. And there you take initiation from Lokanath Goswami, you study under Jiva Goswami, and you will be empowered to spread the glories of the chanting of the holy names.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
And soon after that he escaped. And under Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya's order, he was on his way to Vrindavan. Meanwhile, his father sent all guards and police everywhere in all directions searching for Narottam. And they actually found him in the forest. They were ready to forcibly drag him back home. But Narottam had such devotion. He had such an appealing and charming sense of sincerity that he could convince anyone's mind. He told them, I know what you are doing is out of great compassion. If a chaste wife sees that her husband dies, how could she live without him? So she will enter into the fire and perform the sati. Now there's big controversy in India about sati. When it's forced, that is murder. But if a woman has that feeling of chastity, it's actually a very high principle of devotion, which is supported by the greatest acharyas of the Vedic thought. So he was saying that if a wife is going to enter the fire out of devotion to her husband, obviously, out of love, the other relatives will say, please do not go, please do not go. But still she will go. So similarly, my heart, it is longing to enter into the fire due to the fire of separation from Krishna. Due to my separation from Krishna, who is my only beloved, I cannot have any enjoyment in this world. I must be with Krishna, and I must enter into this fire of devotion to Krishna. And I know you are my well-wishers, but you must let me do this. And when they heard this, the guards of the father who went to apprehend him and take him home, their hearts melted so much, they gave him money and said, here, go to Vrindavan. And when he went to Vrindavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya, actually appeared to both Lokanath Goswami and Jiva Goswami, telling them that Narottam is coming. And he went to the temple of Govindaji, big, big, beautiful temple of Srila Rupa Goswami. And when he saw the temple and the devotees and saw the beautiful form of Radha Govinda, he fell unconscious on the floor. And the news came to Jiva Goswami and he came and brought him. Narottam, as soon as he arrived in Vrindavan, all the Brijvasis and all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas just loved him so much. Although he was so learned and so advanced in every way, he was so humble. He was so sincere in his service to the Vaishnavas. And Narottam approached Lokanath Goswami and begged him, "Please give me initiation." But at the time, Lokanath Goswami was living near the bank of Jamuna, what is now Radha Gokulananda Mandir. He could not conceive of initiating anyone. He had never initiated anyone in his life. He was an associate of Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip. But he had such a love for Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya knew, if this devotee sees me take sannyas, he will not survive. So Lord Chaitanya sent him to Vrindavan just so he would not see this very heartbreaking experience of this pastime of sannyas. And there he lived in Vrindavan throughout his life. And he went there with Bhugarabha Goswami, and he became the most intimate, loving friends with Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Kashishwar Pandit, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, later Jiva Goswami. And after Rupa and Sanatan left the planet, between separation of Lord Chaitanya and Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, he would just weep and cry in ecstatic love day and night, constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna. And he resolved in his mind, "I will never take a disciple." But Narottam was so sincere. Lokanath Goswami actually felt, "You are more advanced than me. How can I initiate you?" But Narottam Das, "You can say what you like, Guru Maharaj, but I am your eternal servant, and your mercy is all that I am made of." And in his own humble way, he began to try to perform personal services to Lokanath Goswami. But Lokanath Goswami did not like people to serve him. So sometimes Narottam had to do things very secretly. In the early morning, Lokanath Goswami would go to perform his morning duties of evacuations and so forth before taking his bath in Jamuna. And Narottam would very secretly, without telling anyone, he would clean that place with his own hands and make it very fresh and nice. Lokanath Goswami was wondering, "What is this? This place is always so nice and clean. The place you go to pass stool and urine is usually not nice and clean in the forest. Of course, we should keep ours nice and clean, because this is not the forest. But this is a story to show you that you have to keep the bathrooms clean. I will use any excuse to emphasize cleanliness for you brahmacharis here at the ashram." So Narottam would Every day for one full year, he was not only hearing from Lokanath Goswami, he was not only constantly chanting the holy names, but he was cleaning that place. So Lokanath Goswami was thinking, let me see who this is. And one day he hid in the forest bushes. And then he saw Narottam coming and cleaning the stool and urine with his hands. And when Lokanath Goswami saw this, his heart broke. He couldn't believe it. He began to cry. He came out. He said, what are you doing? Why? You are a prince. You are meant to be the king. You are a great scholar. You are born in aristocracy. Why you were here in the forest cleaning the stool and urine of a man with your hands? And Narottam Das, with such sincerity and devotion, he replied that I have given up the useless wealth of a material kingdom to come and accept the supreme wealth of this humble servant to a great soul like you. This is the wealth of my life. This is the treasure of my life, that I could clean after you as your menial servant. When Lokanath Goswami saw the sincerity and the purity of the desire of Narottam, he soon after awarded him initiation and very carefully taught him the principles of bhakti, as Rupa and Sanatan have explained. Then one day, Narottam Das Thakur was introduced by Jiva Goswami to Srinivasacharya. In fact, Narottam had a dream, and in that dream he was told, tomorrow you will meet that person you have longed to associate with, Srinivas. And when they met, they both embraced and bathed each other in their tears, and from that moment this friendship became so deep that these two, everyone saw that they were like one person. It was like one soul in two bodies, because they had such love for each other, such devotion and respect for each other, such willingness to sacrifice anything to work together for the will of Jiva Goswami and their spiritual master. And this became one of the great pillars of the foundation of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, is the love and the friendship between Srinivasacharya and Narottam Das Thakur. They were inseparable. And it's very wonderful, because Srinivasacharya had taken initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Narottam Das Thakur had taken initiation from Lokanath Goswami. They were both studying in the school of Jiva Goswami. Although they may have different gurus, still they had oneness of love and affection on the basis of their devotion to the Parampara and to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this example is very much required to be understood within Srila Prabhupada Society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We are all one family under the banner of the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Gaurang and Srila Prabhupada. So together they studied, and they became the best of the students of Jiva Goswami. And after some time, one other devotee was sent from Ambika Kalna by one great Vaishnav named Hridoy Chaitanya, and his name was Duki Krishna Das. And the three of them became very, very, very deeply rooted friends in the service of the Lord's mission. And Jiva Goswami, after some time, awarded all three of them special titles. To Srinivas, he gave the name Srinivas Acharya. To Narottam Das, he gave the name Narottam Das Thakur Mahashoy. And to Duki Krishna, he gave the name Shyamananda. And in Bhakti Ratnakar, there's a beautiful, beautiful narration of how one associate of Lord Chaitanya named Raghava Pandit gave Srinivas and Narottam a parikrama of all the 12 forests of Brajbhumi. And actually, that parikrama is the model of the parikrama that all Gaudiya Vaishnavas follow when we do parikrama of Brajmandal. And a beautiful, elaborate explanation. And one day, Janava Devi, who was living in the sacred village of Karadaha in Bengal, she was the consort of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. She sent a message to Jiva Goswami that the devotees in Bengal are starving for association. The books of the six Goswamis and their associates must be brought to Bengal. And Jiva Goswami, although he was such a great acharya, he always felt himself the humble servant of the senior Vaishnavas such as Janava Devi. So they selected a date, and he specifically asked Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and Shyamananda to bring the books to Bengal. So they went throughout Brajbhumi, going to the great, great senior Vaishnavas and asking for their blessings for this mission. Because a devotee never has any confidence or faith in his own abilities. A real devotee is always depending on the mercy of the blessings of devotees. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has written like this in his Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, I am an invalid. I have no power to walk. But the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas is what is keeping me up. Keeping me able to, is my power to walk on this path of bhakti. No one can be a devotee. No one can make progress on the path of devotional service without the support and the help and the blessings of the Vaishnavas. The spiritual master, the previous acharya, and the present assembled contemporary devotees of the Lord. We must always be seeking their help and their blessings. And the more advanced we become, the more humbly we want to seek their blessings and their association. So they went throughout. They went to Radha Kund and they met with Raghunath Das Goswami, who wept and embraced them, and they touched his lotus feet and were begging, please give your mercy. And all the devotees of Vrindavan were thinking, how will we live? You, the three of you, you are the youth and the hope and the life of our sampradaya. If you leave, how will we continue? But yet, this is the mission of the Lord, you must go. They went to Lokanath Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, received their blessings. And then on a very auspicious day, there were ox carts and servants, and all the books were put in crates, and they began their journey. But they came to a place called Vana Vishnupur, and they were sleeping at night, and there was a king named Birambir, and he was actually the leader of many dacoits. So someone told him that these sadhus, they have these big boxes and there's great treasures in those boxes. So while they were sleeping, the dacoit stole the books. At that time, they were the only books. All the books of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, they were stolen. These men were just, they were delirious in anxiety. They were searching everywhere, anywhere for these books. Ultimately, Srinivasacharya, who was the leader, he told Narottam and Shyamananda that you go to your places and you preach, and I will stay here until I recover the books. So Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda began to travel. And they went to Ketarigram. And they went, they spent some time. When they came to Ketarigram, which was the birthplace of Narottam, at that time, his cousin brother, Santosh Dutt, who was the son of Purushottam Dutt, he was the king, because years went by and Narottam Das Thakur's father and uncle had left their bodies. So Santosh Dutt greeted Narottam and washed his feet and gave him garlands and gave him every type of reception. Not only that, he surrendered his life to Narottam Das Thakur and accepted initiation from him. And he vowed in his life that he would simply utilize the entire kingdom of Khetri only to facilitate the preaching of his cousin brother Narottam Das. After some time, Shyamananda was going back to his native place, Orissa, to preach and to see his guru. And as Shyamananda and Narottam parted from each other, the author of Bhakti Ratnakara says, I cannot describe what kind of feelings of separation they had upon parting. This is the nature of the love of Vaishnavas. Narottam Thakur went to Navadvip on pilgrimage to see the holy place of Lord Chaitanya for the first time in his life. He was sitting on the bank of the Ganges, weeping in separation from Lord Chaitanya. And at that time he met Shuklambar Brahmachari. And they embraced. And Shuklambar Brahmachari was so happy to meet Narottam. He explained to him that all of us are simply immersed in the ocean of separation from Lord Gauranga. But we have just been waiting for you to give us life and hope. Because Narottam Das Thakur's devotion was very famous amongst all Vaishnavas. And he went to Lord Chaitanya's birthplace, the house of Jagannath Mishra. And there he met Ishan Thakur, the personal servant of Sachi Devi and Vishnupriya, because they had already left this world in separation from Lord Gaur Hari. And there he was listening to the wonderful pastimes and meditating on the birth and childhood pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And he went to the Srivasangam, the house of Srivas, and he went from place to place throughout Navadvip. We were supposed to do that, but by Krishna's arrangement it has been postponed. We were supposed to go to Mayapur on Monday, but man proposes and Lord Chaitanya disposes. After meeting the devotees, the surviving associates, he went to Shantipur. There he met with Achyutananda, the son of Advaitacharya. And together they just absorbed themselves in remembering the glories of these departed Vaishnavas and having wonderful Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan. And from Shantipur he visited so many places. He went to Kardaha, the place that Lord Nityananda Prabhu, after he married the two daughters of Suryadas Sarakela, Janava Devi and Vasudha Devi, he made his home Kardaha, which is close to Panihati. In our yatra we were supposed to go there the first day, first to Panihati to have Chiradahi Utsav, then to Kardaha to worship Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Janava Devi. Kardaha was the base of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and his two children were born there. From Vishuddha, he had one son and one daughter. The daughter's name was Ganga Devi, and the son's name was Birabhadra, or Birachandra. So when Narottam came to Kardaha to see the two Ishwaris, Janava and Vishuddha, they welcomed him with such great, great love and affection. In fact, Janava Devi loved Narottam with so much affection. She just, like her own spiritual child, she had so much affection and love for Narottam. He worshipped her lotus feet. And he sat at their lotus feet and heard the glories of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And after taking leave of Janava Devi and Vishuddha Devi, he went to places such as Shikhanda, where he met Raghunandan Thakur, the son of Mukunda, Narahari Sarakar. He met all these great souls in Shikhanda. And he went to the village of Abhiram Gopal Thakur, and there he worshipped the lotus feet of this great Vaishnava and heard the glories of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. And he visited the village of Gadadhar Das, who embraced him and soaked him with tears of love. Gadadhar Das was the effulgence of Srimati Radharani and one of the greatest associates of Lord Nityananda. And after so many wonderful places of going, he went to Katwa, where Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, and there he met Yadunandan. In this way, he was just seeking the association of the devotees as his hope, his refuge, and his joy in life. And together with them, constantly hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting the holy name. He also went to Jajigram, where he met Srinivasacharya at his home. Srinivas had recovered the books. Not only did he recover the books, but he preached and made King Birambira Vaishnava, and on King Birambira's influence and Srinivasacharya's great purity and potency, the entire kingdom of Vishnupur, Vana Vishnupur, became Vaishnavas. And everyone in the kingdom practically became the initiated disciples of Srinivasa Acharya. And the king and all his dacoits became gentle, loving, humble servants of the Lord. And then he returned to Khetri Gram. And he and Santosh Dutt, his cousin brother, were thinking that we should do something wonderful in the service of the Vaishnavas. And at that time, Lokanath Goswami from Vrindavan sent a letter to Narottam Das Thakur. And he said, now you have so many disciples there in Khetri Gram and the surrounding areas. You should install deities and teach them how to worship the deities. and you should always teach them how to serve Vaishnavas and teach them to always be immersed in studying the Goswami's literature and chanting the holy names of Krishna. In essence, this is our philosophy, and this is our life. To worship the deity of the Lord, to serve the Vaishnavas, to study the books of the Acharyas, and to chant the holy names. So they wanted to install these deities. One day, but there were no deities. One day, Narottam was doing his begging of alms, and he came to one Brahmin's house whose name was Vipradas. And Vipradas said, "I have no food, because the house where all the grains are stored, there's a terrible, deadly, poison snake living in that house, and nobody could go in to get any grains from it." So Narottam said, "I will go and get the grains." So as Narottam fearlessly went into the house of the grain storage, and as soon as he came, the snake disappeared. And in the house, amongst the grains, he found beautiful deity of Lord Gauranga and his eternal consort Vishnupriya. And he came out of the house with these deities. And they had other deities also. In total, there were 6 deities. Deities of Krishna as well as Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Vishnupriya. And they decided to have the installation on Gaur Purnima. And decided to have the first major Gaur Purnima festival in the history of our sampradaya. And invite all the Vaishnavas of Bengal and Orissa to attend. So Santosh Dutt, he was so excited about this, of serving his Guru Maharaj, that he put all the energy of his kingdom into building a beautiful temple for the deities to be installed. And then a beautiful decorated kirtan hall for wonderful kirtans. And then wonderful, wonderful palatial accommodations, guest house for the acharyas, for the devotees, and for any other guests that came. And then he made big, big storage for grains, for massive prasad distribution. And then he dug beautiful lakes and ponds with lotus flowers for all the devotees to happily take their baths. He spent practically everything he had just to make a wonderful facility for the devotees to chant, dance, and feast. Kevala Ananda Kanda. And then they had scribes write beautiful personal invitations in eloquent Sanskrit language and local language. And they had devotees personally carry them to all the different parts of Bengal and Orissa where the devotees were living. And soon devotees were starting to come. From Ambika Kalna, Hriday Chaitanya was coming. And from Karadaha, Vishuddha and Janava were coming. And from Navadvip, the two brothers of Srivas were coming. And from Shantipur, Achyutananda and his brothers, Gopal Das and others. And in this way, from all directions, the devotees were traveling toward Keturi Gram. And the devotees, wherever they go, they're chanting the holy names. Everywhere they were chanting and chanting and chanting, and more people on the way became so attracted, and they would say, "Come, come to Keturi Gram, enjoy the festival of Gaur Purnima." And soon there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people traveling to Keturi Gram. And when they came to the Padma River, Santosh Dutt had arranged big, big, beautiful boats to carry them all across. And these thousands of Vaishnavas and pilgrimage, when they arrived, they were all greeted with such love and such hospitality. And especially the prominent Vaishnavas, Narottam Das Thakur personally, Srinivasacharya, were personally there to greet each one of them and give them garlands and sandalwood and take the dust from their feet and worship them and personally arrange accommodations for them. And when Janava came, she was considered the prominent personality, the senior most being the consort of Lord Nityananda. And Narottam and Srinivas and Shamananda personally worshipped her to begin the festival. And she gave her blessings. And then the wonderful festival began. The Vaishnav culture is so much revealed through the behavior of these great devotees. The conception of hospitality amongst devotees is one of the most sacred principles of our philosophy and our life. Not only to greet Vaishnavas who come, anyone who comes to our temple should be greeted and given honor and respect and prasad in the most kind words and as far as possible the nicest accommodations. Not officially, but with affection, with respect, with devotion. That is Vaishnava. And even the pilgrims and guests, anyone who comes, they are sent by Krishna. They must be given the love of Krishna through the love of his devotees. That is our duty, it is our service. And according to how we treat the Vaishnavas, especially visiting devotees, that is how we are worshipping Radha Gopinath. And Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur and Shamananda Pandit, although they were so exalted, and by that time they all had thousands and thousands of disciples, they were personally leading to greet the Vaishnavas, to serve the Vaishnavas, to worship the Vaishnavas, and all their disciples were just engaged in serving the Vaishnavas. This was the training they gave. And in their respect for Janava, no matter how great we are, we should always, no matter how many disciples we may have, we should always be anxious to subordinate ourselves, humble ourselves to a Vaishnava senior to us. This is the standard set by the greatest of the acharyas. And with Janava Devi's blessings, the festival began. And that night there was a wonderful, wonderful kirtan that went throughout most of the night. And devotees were dancing and chanting in ecstatic love. And the next day was Gaura Purnima. And they had the installation of the deities. Janava Devi and the other great Mahatmas who were associates of Lord Chaitanya. Along with Janava Devi came Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat. So many great souls were there. And Srinivasacharya was the head pujari who performed the Abhishek ceremony for the six deities. And after they were installed, Janava Devi was personally giving people the remnants of the garlands and everything from the deities. And then she called for kirtan. And the devotees began kirtan. Narottam Das Thakur had developed a very wonderful style of kirtan, and his disciples began to sing. First, Raghunandan Thakur from Srikanda sang the invocation, invoking the mercy of the previous acharyas and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one devotee of Narottam named Devidas, he was a very great mridanga player, and he was playing and others were singing. And the kirtan was becoming more and more deep and rich in its mood of devotion and enthusiasm. First, Raghunandan Thakur. from Sri Kanda, saying the invocation, invoking the mercy of the previous acharyas and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one devotee of Narottam named David Das, he was a very great murdunga player, and he was playing and others were singing. And the kirtan was becoming more and more deep and rich in its mood of devotion and enthusiasm. And at a certain point in the kirtan, Narottam Das Thakur personally began to sing. And his voice was so sweet and so rich with love that as he sang, the devotees, they just couldn't control their devotion. And the kirtan was getting louder and louder and more intensified in its devotion. And people were just falling at Narottam's feet because he was inspiring and inducing so much bhakti from their hearts by his singing of kirtan. And everyone's completely immersed in the holy name and lila of Lord Chaitanya and Radha and Krishna. And soon the kirtan was just utterly ecstatic as Narottam Das Thakur was singing. And at that moment, the most wonderful miracle took place. Right before the eyes of all the thousands of people jubilantly chanting and dancing, appeared in his own personal form, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And by his side was Nityananda Prabhu and Gadadhar and Advaitacharya and Srivas. And they saw Haridas Thakur and Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis and Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And there was Swarup Damodar Goswami and Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Murari Gupta and all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were all gathered around Lord Chaitanya with their arms raised, loudly calling out the holy names. You can imagine when Janava Devi was seeing Nityananda Prabhu after years of separation, and Achyutananda was seeing his father Advaitacharya, and Raghunandan was seeing his own father Mukunda, the supreme kirtan was taking place. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates were inducing everyone to become more and more absorbed in Harinam. And the ecstasy and the tears and the love and the ecstatic symptoms manifested on everyone was beyond words. And this kirtan went on for hours and hours and hours throughout the night. And the devotees were falling at the feet of Narottam saying, because of your love, look at what you have done. The supreme ultimate treasure of our lives to have the darshan of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and all these devotees who we've been longing to see, who left this world before we could see them. Some were thinking that. Who took our hearts away when they left. Because of your devotion, you have brought them back. In this way, Narottam was being glorified by everyone. And the kirtan went on and on. And at a certain point, Lord Chaitanya and all of his associates disappeared. And then the devotees, to the degree they were in ecstasy, they were in agony. But this type of agony is ecstasy, because it's with Krishna in the center. They were plunged in an ocean of separation. And Janava Devi, seeing this, understood that we have to go on with the festival. So as you know, Gaur Purnima is also the day of Holi. So she went to the deities and gathered everyone together And she began to take nice colored dyes and sprinkle it very lovingly upon the different deities. And then she gave the colored dyes to the devotees, and then they started sprinkling it on each other, and they had a very joyful holy festival. And the next morning, they did this throughout the night, and the next morning Janava Devi herself, personally with her associates, cooked a big feast for all the devotees. And Janava Devi herself, who was worshipped by Rupa and Sanatana and Jiva and all the great souls, she personally served the devotees with her own loving hands to show her mood of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas. And after all the devotees had eaten prasad to their full satisfaction, then she sat down, Srinivas and Shamananda and Narottam, who were assisting her in serving the Vaishnavas, and she fed them. And after all of them, she fed them with her own hand. And after everyone was finished, then she herself took prasad. And in this way, this Kethari festival lasted for 3 days. And it was a great landmark in our history. And then the devotees began to turn to their places of residence and preaching. Janava Devi with her associates went from there to Vrindavan. And everyone began to go to their places. Sri Narottam Das Thakur continued his preaching. And he literally became the prominent Vaishnav preacher in all of eastern India. And he had such disciples and such friends. Two of his closest associates, I would like to speak briefly about them, with your permission. One was Ramchandra Kaviraj. Ramchandra was from the village of Shikanda. There was a devotee of the name Damodar Sen, and he was a very learned Brahmin. So learned, he knew the scriptures so well that he could defeat anyone in argument, although he was very humble and gentle. So one time a great Brahmin sadhu came to Shikanda and challenged Damodar Sen to a debate. And Damodar Sen defeated him. So this Brahmin, his false ego, was very disturbed. Because Damodar Sen was still somewhat young. This Brahmin cursed Damodar Sen that you will never have a son or a child. So Damodar Sen was very disturbed. He had no children. Usually, people want a child. And in India, often they want a son. So he was very bereft that he's been cursed to never have a son. So he began to serve this sadhu very nicely and begged him to please let him have a child. So ultimately the sadhu said, "All right, because you have pleased me so nicely, I give you this blessing that you will have a daughter. You will not have a son. But this daughter will have two sons. And they will be very great personalities who will influence the whole world." So Damodar Sen became very happy. So soon he had a daughter whose name was Sunanda. And Sunanda had two children. And one of their names was Ramchandra. And Ramchandra just became like an ocean of transcendental good qualities and devotion to Krishna. He was a very great learned scholar, and he was very pure and deep in his devotion. And it is a long story. But he came in contact with Srinivasacharya, and he surrendered his life to Srinivasacharya. And he became Srinivasacharya's dear initiated disciple. And Srinivasacharya loved him more than his own life. And Srinivasacharya at one time sent him to Vrindavan. And when Ramchandra came to Vrindavan, he stayed with Jiva Goswami. And here was the prominent disciple of Srinivasacharya. The devotees in Vrindavan were feeling such separation from Srinivas. And when they saw the qualities of Ramchandra, they were thinking Srinivas himself has come. And he was so poetic and so charming in his devotion that Jiva Goswami gave him the title Ramchandra Kaviraj. And when he returned to Srinivasacharya and Srinivas heard that his disciple had received such mercy from Jiva Goswami, he was simply joyous and ecstatic love. And after the Khetri festival, Srinivasacharya gave Ramchandra to Narottam Das Thakur. He said, you stay with Narottam Das Thakur. Because as soon as they met, Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra became such intimate, deep, loving friends as Vaishnavas. So then, although Srinivas had his preaching in another area, Narottam Das and Ramchandra were constantly together. They also became like one soul and two bodies. They were inseparable. No one could say the name of Ramchandra Kaviraj without also saying Narottam Das Thakur. And no one could even mention the name of Narottam Das Thakur practically without remembering Ramchandra Kaviraj. That's what type of friendship they had. So they were preaching. One day, they went, Ramchandra Kaviraj and Narottam Thakur went to the bank of Ganga to take bath. And they saw two young children. And these children were herding goats and sheep. So Narottam asked, what is your bhajan? What is your chanting? What is your spiritual life? How is it? He said to these children. And they said, well, if you want to know what we're doing, we are the sons of a great zamindar. And he's very wealthy, very powerful, and he's performing Durga Puja. Because it was just before Dasera. Navaratri, where people worship Durga Devi. So he said, our father has ordered us to buy all these goats and sheep, and we are bringing them so that they will be slaughtered and offered as sacrifices to Goddess Durga. That is what we are doing, the two little boys said. So Narottam Das Thakur said, this is what you are doing. He said, the Vedas are divided into different divisions. There is the Karmakanda division. By performing these sacrifices in a pious way, you may be elevated to heavenly existence. But then again, you must fall down into hellish sufferings. So what is the use of this Karmakanda? And others, they worship in such a way that they are actually engaging in activities of violence and torture to other living beings. They will have to suffer hellish consequences. All these flowering words of the Vedas and the worshipping of various gods are for the less intelligent. There is one supreme Paramatma, supreme personality of Godhead, and he is Krishna. And those who want to achieve everlasting bliss and happiness with Krishna, they must live very pure lives. They must be very compassionate and never cause harm or violence to other living beings. But to constantly be in the mood of a servant of the servant and always chant the names of the Lord. So when these children heard this message from the pure and compassionate heart of Narottam Das Thakur, they fell at his feet. They let go of all the goats and sheep, freed them, and they said, "We want to surrender and be your disciples." So Narottam Das Thakur brought them back to Khetri Gram from the Ganga, and he shaved their heads, gave them sikas, kanti mala, tilak, mala. He gave them initiation. One boy's name was Harinam, and the other boy's name was Ram Krishna. So they became very happy, wonderful Vaishnavas. And Narottam was not only teaching them nice philosophy, but teaching them the science of Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name. So they were very happy devotees. But Dasera was coming, and their father was furious, angry. "Where are they? Where are the goats? Durga's waiting for the goats. Where are the goats?" He was furious, and he was a very powerful man, and he was a Brahmin, and he was a pundit, besides a zamindar, like a king. So he sent his servants and his guards hunting for the children. And they saw them, little children, shaved up in the brahmachari ashram of Narottam Das Thakur. He was very angry, intolerably angry. So at a certain point, when Dasera came, they asked permission to go home and visit their father. Father wanted, but they wouldn't go. They said, "Now we will go." So Narottam said, "Yes, always remember Krishna." So when father saw them, "What is this nonsense? They had tilak on 12 parts of their body, shaved heads. They were the son of rich, rich Brahmin. Shaved head. And dhoti. And kanti mala." The father was outraged. He started screaming and yelling and threatening. And they were just, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram." No problem. They had faith in their Guru Maharaj. So the father was just screaming at them, "You are destroying our religion. What is this renunciation? Why you don't worship Durga? What is this Vaishnavism? It is all nonsense. For generations our family has been worshipping Durga. And you have made the aparad by not bringing the goats for the sacrifice. What do you hope to bring but destruction to your own lives and destruction to your families by this misbehavior? Vaishnavism is all nonsense. We are Brahmins. And we are aristocrats. You surrender to me." And the two children fearlessly looked at their father, who was very powerful. And they said, "Father, you are in Maya. This is all illusion." And then they started speaking what they heard from Narottam Das Thakur. And he became more angry. Prabhupada said, "When you feed a snake milk and bananas, they become more venomous." So he just decided, "You must be defeated." So he brought all the big pundits in from his court. And here's these two little children, Harinam and Ram Krishna, little children, brought the pundits. Said, "Oh, you think this Vaishnav philosophy is so great? You should stay home, you should be my son, you should do what I want you to do. If you can defeat these pundits, let us see." So the pundits began to challenge them in all their beliefs and their way of life. And the children just meditated on the lotus feet of Narottam Das Thakur. And Ramchandra Kaviraj initiated Harinam, and Narottam Das Thakur initiated Ram Krishna. So they both began to meditate on their gurus. and they easily defeated all the pundits. Digvijay Pandit, and he came. And he came into the court and he saw, this is who I'm debating? Two children? What is this? So he began to present his arguments, and Harinam and Ramakrishna began to meditate on the lotus feet of Narottam Das and Ramchandra Kaviraj, praying for their mercy, and on the basis of their mercy, completely tore to pieces all the arguments of Murari and established Vaishnava philosophy. And the father and everybody in the village was watching, and they were shocked. Murari was speechless. He said, this Vaishnava philosophy is very good. There's nothing I can do. And he was defeated so severely, he was so embarrassed that he gave away all his wealth, he gave away all his prestige, and he became a beggar. Murari, the great pundit, became a beggar. He was humiliated so much by these two children. And the father then did not know what to do. So he just began to pray to the goddess Durga to save him and to save his children from becoming Hare Krishnas. Save them from the Hare Krishnas. That night, Durga Devi appeared to him in a dream with her sword in hand. And she said that this worship of so many gods for material enjoyment is all illusion. That Krishna is my Lord. And he is worshipable by me. And the only person that is pleasing to me is those who surrender their lives to my master, Krishna. And Narottam Das Thakur is the greatest acharya and Vaishnav devotee of Krishna, and even I worship him. And you have made so many offenses against him. She said, if you do not fall at his feet and beg forgiveness and become his devotee, I will destroy you by severing your head with my sword. This is my word. And then she disappeared. So the father of Harinam and Ramakrishna surrendered to Narottam Das Thakur. Meanwhile, living nearby on the bank of the Ganges, there was the most learned of all Brahmins, who was so highly respected, who had so many students. His name was Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. And he was watching all this. What is all this? This little Harinam and Ramakrishna all of a sudden shaved up, Sika, Tilak, Kantimala, Japamala, dancing and chanting. What is this? They're Brahmins. And he saw how Murari, the biggest Digvijay pundit of Mithila, was totally defeated by these two little children. And then he saw how the father, who was such a terrible materialistic Shakta worshipper, he became a devotee of Narottam Das. He was thinking, who is this Narottam Das Thakur? What is his power? What is this Vaishnavism? He must be supreme. So Ganga Narayan Bhattacharya, who was respected by everyone, he was meditating in this way, and in his heart he began to offer prayers to Narottam Das Thakur. He was praying that I surrender my life to you. Please forgive me for my offenses. I am so proud and so intoxicated by my learning. Let me just be the humble servant of your servants. And that night he had a dream, and Narottam Das Thakur appeared to him in a beautiful, splendorous, golden form, and told him, tomorrow I will come to give you my mercy on the bank of the Ganges. So the next day, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti performed his morning duties, and then he went to the Ganges. And while he was there, who was there bathing? Little Harinam and Ramakrishna. And he was asked, Ganga Narayan was asking them about their Guru Maharaj, and they were saying, You come to our temple, the temple of Gaura Vishnu Priya, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. You come and you meet our Guru Maharaj. But just at that moment, Narottam and his devotees started coming. Our Guru is coming just now. And Ganga Narayan Chakravarti fell at the feet of Narottam Das Thakur and surrendered his life to him. And as he was weeping and crying in obeisances before Narottam, Narottam was actually not a Brahmin by birth. He was a Kayasta. And in Bengal, Kayastas are considered Shudras. And the smarter Brahmins cannot conceive that anyone except a Brahmin is qualified to be a guru or is qualified to be a teacher. So they were very disturbed by Narottam Das Thakur. So Narottam said to Ganga Narayan Chakravarti that you are the most learned Brahmin. What are all the other Brahmins going to say if you are falling at my feet and worshipping me? Ganga Narayan Chakravarti said the smarter Brahmins are in illusion. They are on the bodily concept of life. The only hope in salvation for anyone is such a great Vaishnav who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Narottam embraced him and brought him back to the temple and gave him initiation. Meanwhile, when the caste Brahmin community saw that Ganga Narayan Chakravarti had taken initiation from Narottam Das Thakur, they were outraged. How could a Shudra initiate a Brahmin? This is totally against all Vedic principles. Should I continue? Sorry, it's becoming late. But Hare Krishna, Radha Gopinath. Some of the caste Brahmins were thinking that their professions were at stake. Their livelihood was being disturbed because the only qualifications they had was that they were born in Brahmin families. And if Narottam Das Thakur is teaching that anyone could be a spiritual master if he knows the science of Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya has taught, Yare Deka Tarikaha Krishna Upadesh Amaragoy Guruho Tare Desh, then what will happen to them? So they were challenging in so many ways. And then they went to the king. The local king, his name was Raj Narasingha, and he was a very pious man. And they said to him that this Narottam is a Sudra, and he is destroying Brahminical culture. He's going against the tenets of the Vedas, and as the king, it is your duty to protect the Brahmins. He must be stopped. So Raj Narasingha wrote a letter to Narottam Das Thakur and said, why are you destroying the Brahminical culture? And Narottam Das Thakur wrote a letter back, which was very humble and very sweet, but filled with scriptural evidence that a real Brahmin is not by birth but by quality, and one who surrenders to Krishna is fit to initiate anyone into the perfection of life. Aho bata swapa chotho gariyam yaj jiva grevarati namatubyam. Even if one is a dog eater, if he is a devotee of Krishna chanting the holy names purely, he can be guru for the whole world. But a Brahmin who is not such a devotee cannot even deliver himself, what to speak of anyone else. So it was a very convincing letter. And Raj Narasingha was very pleased to receive it. And he showed it to the pundits, and they were even more outraged. They said, it is your duty as king to stop this rascal. So they decided to have a procession with the greatest royal pundits to go to Keturigram to defeat Narottam Das Thakur, and Raj Narasingha himself was convinced to go along with them. So the procession was coming. And some people from a local village came to Narottam Das Thakur and his associates and said, this is what's happening. The great Digvijay pundit Rup Narayan, who was defeated by Jiva Goswami at one time in Vrindavan, he is also with Raj Narasingha. And all these great scholars, they've come to defeat everyone in Keturigram. So Ganga Narayan Chakravarti and Ramchandra Kaviraj made a plan. Very sublime plan. They both put on the garments of simple workers. And Ramchandra Kaviraj and Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, one of them sat on the ground with some little clay pots to take the role of a pottery salesman, just making clay pots and selling. And the other was sitting there with betel nuts and pan leaves as betel nut panwala. Ah, very, very low-class jobs by caste standards. So they were sitting on the side of the road, and here comes this grand procession. And of course, they were thirsty. They needed some pots for water. They needed some pots for cooking. And all these royal people like to chew pan and betel nuts. So they came and stopped. And as they were buying, these two valas began to speak in perfect Sanskrit. Have you ever bought a clay pot from someone who's telling you how much money in perfect Sanskrit? Or a pan leaf? So these scholars were thinking, what is this? How do you know such perfect Sanskrit? They say, oh, we are from Keturigram, the place of Narottam Das Thakur. Ah, Narottam Das Thakur, he's all nonsense. And they started blaspheming Narottam Das Thakur. And the panwala and what is it called? Patwala. I don't know. But they defeated all of them in argument, and then the bigger pundits came. And Raj Narayan and Raj Narasingha Maharaj and Rup Narayan, the biggest pundit, they were sitting there seeing all this commotion around these two little sellers. They said, let us go see what this is. And they saw that right before their eyes, they were being defeated. So Raj Narasingha said, Rup Narayan, you better help them. So Rup Narayan came in, and they completely, on the basis of Shastra and authoritative scriptural evidence, destroyed all of Rup Narayan's arguments. And Raj Narasingha looked at all the pundits and all the smarta Brahmins and caste Brahmins assembled and said, if the betel nut wala and the clay pot seller, if the disciples of Narottam Das Thakur in this category can defeat you, how do you think you're going to defeat Narottam Das Thakur? It will be more honorable we just go and surrender. So they all went and surrendered. And they all took initiation from Narottam Das Thakur and began to follow his instructions, to follow Mahaprabhu's teachings of the congregational chanting of the holy name. In this way, Srila Narottam Das Thakur's influence and fame spread in all directions. And he wrote many beautiful, beautiful poems and songs. Two wonderful literatures that are most prominent were the Prarthana and Prema Bhakti Chandrika. And within these two anthologies of beautiful songs and prayers are contained most of the wonderful bhajans that Gaudiya Vaishnavas to this very day are very fond of singing. The beautiful prose that was composed by Narottam Das Thakur transformed the hearts of devotees all over India. And it was accepted that Srila Narottam Das Thakur is the very embodiment, the personification of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pure love of God and his mercy to the whole world. Our own beloved spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, was most fond of singing the wonderful songs of Narottam Das Thakur. And there are many, many tapes of Srila Prabhupada absorbed in the deepest moods of love of Krishna and Sri Radharani and Gauranga Mahaprabhu as he's singing the wonderful prayers written by Srila Thakur Narottam Das. Srila Prabhupada told us that Narottam Das Thakur, although his prayers are written in very simple Bengali language, they contain all the conclusions and essence of all the Vedic literatures. They are non-different than the Vedas. Narottam Das Thakur is one of the most worshipped and remembered acharyas. He lived his life singing, dancing, serving the Vaishnavas, and compassionately transforming the hearts of hundreds and thousands, millions of conditioned souls. And to this day, his influence through his songs and his devotees are going on. Such great souls as Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev Vidyabhushan, came in the line of Narottam Das Thakur's disciples. And on the inspiration of Narottam Das Thakur, they have given us so many rich, deep spiritual literatures and spiritual examples. As the years went by, it came to that fateful day when it was learned that Ramchandra Kaviraj had left his body. And his Guru Maharaj, Srinivasacharya, was immersed in such separation from Ramchandra Kaviraj that soon after that, Srinivasacharya disappeared from the world. And when Narottam Das Thakur heard that his two most intimate associates and loving friends, Ramchandra Kaviraj and Srinivas, had left this world, he composed the beautiful song of the prayers to the departed Vaishnavas. Jaya Nilo Prema Dana. If there is a songbook, we will sing that. Narottam Das Thakur had received the message from the Supreme Personality of Godhead that it was also his time to make the final chapter of his earthly leela. So it is explained that Narottam Das Thakur, one time he was with his devotees, he was simply weeping and crying in separation from the Lord and his devotees. and he went into a trance for 3 days. Narottam Das Thakur would go into these trances when he was living in Vrindavan under the care of Srila Jiva Goswami, Srimati Radharani herself appeared to Narottam Das Thakur and told him that you should assist my friend Sakhi Champaklata in boiling milk to make preparations for me to offer Krishna, making kheer. So in his original body of Vilas Manjari in Goloka Vrindavan, he was in his meditation boiling milk for Champaklata to offer to Srimati Radharani, to offer to Krishna. But the milk began to boil over. So in great haste, with her bare hands, she took the milk off the pot. But her hands became burnt. And when Narottam Das Thakur came out of the meditation, his hands were burnt. So he wrapped his hands up with cloth so no one would see. Devotees do not like to manifest their elevated position. It's not that he was going showing everyone, look. He was trying to hide it from everyone. But Jiva Goswami saw the burns in his hands. He understood that you were boiling milk for Srimati Radharani and you burned your hands taking it off. And in fact, everyone in Vrindavan understood. Ah, he's hiding, but we know. This is his lila. This is his elevated position. So years later, on the bank of the river Ganga, he was in the trance of separation from the Lord's devotees for 3 days. And then all the symptoms of his life ceased. By material standards, he was dead. So his disciples were weeping and crying, and they built a funeral pyre for him with wood. And they went to place his body on the wood. And then the caste Brahmins, they began to blaspheme him. And they began to blaspheme Ganga Narayan, Bhat Chakravarti and all others. That, ah, just see. He was a Sudra who has made such offenses against Brahminical culture. Now he's dead. So many terrible words. And Ganga Narayan was... he had so much love for his Guru Maharaj, he began to pray to Narottam Das, please come back. Do not allow this last chapter to end in insults against you. So on the basis of his prayer, right on the funeral pile, right in front of all the caste Brahmins who were blaspheming and insulting him, all of a sudden his body started glowing in a golden effulgence and a beautiful Brahmin thread. Manifest, a golden Brahmin thread manifest around his body, and he came back to life. As the Christians would say, he rose from the dead. And when the Brahmins saw this, all the caste Brahmins present surrendered to his lotus feet and became his disciples, as he instructed them in the true essence of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. But sometime later, it was Narottam Das Thakur's desire to return to the spiritual world. So he called Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, Jagannath Acharya, and several other of his followers, and told them, let us go to the river Ganges. And they went to the Ganges, and he exclaimed, let us have loud chanting of the holy names of Krishna. And as the kirtan was becoming more and more ecstatic in devotion, Narottam Das Thakur asked his principal followers to take the water of the Ganges in their hands and pour it over his body while he was standing in the Ganges. And they began to do like this. And as they were pouring the water over his body, as the Ganges water was touching his body began to melt. It began to melt into a liquid form like milk and enter into the Ganges, merging. And the devotees, they could not bear seeing this. But at the same time, it was their Guru Maharaj's will, it was his order. They had to continue to do this abhishek of bathing him until his body disappeared and merged in the Ganges. And Srila Ganga Narayan Chakravarti took that water that his body transformed into, that milk and water mixture, and put it in a pot and made a beautiful samadhi for Srila Narottam Das Thakur. In this way, we have heard just one drop from the unlimited ocean of the glories of the great Vaishnavacharya, who to this very day we are remembering and receiving his blessings. Srila Prabhupada taught us that every day we worship him, the founder Acharya of our movement, in Guru Puja. Guru Puja is such an important part of our spiritual lives, because it is yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati kutopi. We can only approach Krishna through the blessings of our spiritual master. Worship of the spiritual master is the heart and soul of a devotee. We worship the spiritual master by following his instructions and by trying to please him in every possible way, and giving up everything that is outside or contrary to his will. This is the nature of a true disciple. So Srila Prabhupada taught us to begin our days by having this wonderful Guru Puja, in which we sing the beautiful prayer written by Narottam Das Thakur, Shri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Ananda Kanda. Why? Because this song very particularly grasps the essence of Guru Tattva. There may be volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes of books about what is Guru Tattva, but it is all contained in the sweetest, most beautiful essence in this one prayer. In any of these wonderful prayers or bhajans of Narottam Das Thakur, if you just sing it sincerely and carefully study its content, you will be empowered to be able to defeat any opposition anywhere. And you will understand the true essence of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, throughout Srila Prabhupada's books, he's very fond of quoting Narottam Das Thakur. Chariya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Paiche Keva. Again and again he quotes this beautiful prayer of Narottam Das Thakur, that no one has ever nor ever will be a devotee of Krishna without becoming the servant of the Vaishnavas. So let us always worship the lotus feet of the great souls. By hearing and chanting their glories and becoming the servant of the servant of their servants. At this time, I invite you all to chant with me. On the disappearance day of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, the song that he composed himself in separation from the Lord's devotees. It is entitled Lamentation Due to Separation from the Lord and His Associates, from Prarthana. Is there other songbooks for guests? The translation is, that personality who delivered the treasure of prema bhakti, who was so intense with compassion, where is such a personality to be found as Srinivas Acharya? Where are the saviors of the fallen souls? Where is my Swarup Damodar? And where are Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami? Where is Raghunath Das to be found? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta Goswamis? Where am I to find Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj now? All at once they have gone to join Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, to reach such a perfect personality as Lord Chaitanya. I can only break my head against the stone in the anguish of separation. They have all gone off together in their own lila. Narottam Das Thakur says, unable to obtain their association, I must simply weep. Jaya nilo prema dana karuna pracho. Jaya nilo prema dana karuna pracho. It is on page 128.
Eno prabhu kota gela acharya thaku.
Eno prabhu kota gela acharya
thaku. Eno prabhu kota gela acharya thaku.
What page is it in Blue Book? 86.
Jaya nilo prema dana karuna pracho. Jaya nilo prema dana karuna pracho. Eno prabhu kota gela acharya taku. Eno prabhu kota gela acharya taku. Kaham Morasvarupa Kaha Sanatana Kaha Morasvarupa Kaha Sanatana Sarabu napa patita pava Kahata sarabu napa patita pava Kaha Kavira Kaha Mora Bhata Yuga Kaha Kavira Jaha Eka kole kota gela koranatara Eka kole kota gela koranatara Ne kuti bho mata anale pasibo Asha ne kuti bho mata anale pasibo Gauranga gunera niri kota gele pabo Gauranga gunera niri kota gele pabo Sabasangira sange je koi lovila Sabasangira sange je koi lovila Se sangana paya kande narotamoda Se sangana paya kande narotamoda se sangha na paya kande narotamoda. Ye anilo premadana karuna pracho. Ye anilo premadana karuna pracho. Eno prabhu kotha gela achaya thako. Eno prabhu kotha gela achaya thako. Krishna Hari Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari 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 Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananti Kori Vaishnava Vrinda ki.